Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight for the grace of Christ that we have known. We have tasted it. We have known its power. We are continually under its influence. And even when we do not have an active awareness of it, or even a sense of it, you continue to pour it out upon us. We are thankful for the grace of this salvation, the grace of your forgiveness, cleansing. Thankful for the grace of Christ that you have brought into our hearts that changes us. We're thankful that grace trains us to deny ungodliness and worldliness, to devote ourselves to those things that are righteous and true, like unto him. We ask that you would give us grace tonight, that as we open the word together, we would understand it as it is, as you have revealed it and designed it and intended it to bring blessing. So I pray that you would give us that help that we are in need of. And Spirit of God, even as you attended the worship this morning and shepherded our hearts through that service, so we ask again tonight that you would shepherd our hearts for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's return to the subject matter of this morning. And there, even though we started in Ephesians 1, verse 3, that really was not even, I would not say, the principal text. We were just tracing this theme of union with Christ through the Scriptures. And beginning with a question of our union with Christ, and I trust that that is settled in your heart, that you know for sure you are, in fact, united to Jesus, not remaining in union with Adam, because in union with Adam, all die. But in union with Christ, all will be made alive, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Then we noted the span of our union with Christ. It is a union that in the mind of God, he has given consideration to it, considered it to be real, going all the way back to that time when time was not, so to speak, before time. Ephesians 1:4 reminds us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but that choice was only in Christ, in him. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 also speaks of that union predating time. Then we certainly are united to Christ Jesus in time right now. It is true. Passages such as 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, and then others tell us that we will remain united to Christ Jesus after time. And then we will fully understand it because we will see him as he is. We will know his presence. We will know the power of that intimate relationship with him, experiencing it every day of eternity, every moment. It's hard to fathom, isn't it? But that will certainly be our experience. Then we ran through a number of the privileges of our union with Christ. And I was really blessed right after the service. One gentleman who I was speaking with said, you know, as you were running through that list of 14 privileges, my mind went to, and he named another one. And I should have written down the scripture reference off the top of my head. I don't remember what it was. But honestly, this would be one of those things. I'd love to hear from you if there were other privileges that the Spirit of God was bringing to your mind, because I know there are dozens and dozens more scriptures that we could have gone to. So feel free in just a moment to share something that maybe the Lord impressed upon your heart from that particular section. I think the big thought that I would want you to retain out of that survey of multiple passages might be best captured through 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Just the fullness of this life in him. We know it all in him. We experience it all through him. Absolute security. And then finally, the intimacy of our union with Christ. Intimacy described in terms of a relationship, Christ as head, we as his body. And then the second metaphor of intimacy described in terms of marriage. He being the groom, we being the bride. And I just, even this afternoon, my heart went back to Ephesians 29 and 30, just thinking in terms of what Paul writes, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. And so any earthly reflection of that in the context of marriage, where you see a husband and wife who have a healthy relationship, that is but a dim reflection in one respect of the perfect union that Christ enjoys with his people. And the fact that that people like us would never hate our flesh, even that is a reflection of Christ's perfect love for us as his bride. And because he loves us, not hating us or neglecting us or forgetting us, he actually nourishes us and cherishes us. And that was just another time this afternoon for me to just be in awe, just to be in awe that Jesus really loves us the way he does. So that's a brief summary, a run through of the outline from this morning. I asked you at the end of the service to think through several different questions, ranging from how this truth shapes the way you think about yourself all the way to the end of asking you to write down the most significant truth from today's study. Some of you were trying to do that right at the end, and I know that can in and of itself be a challenge when you're like, wait, you just preached for quite a while and you covered dozens of scripture passages and we thought and meditated and worked our way through multiple truths, and now you're asking me to pick one. So I get that can be a little bit of a challenging exercise, but it's helpful for us. It's helpful for us. And I find it exceedingly helpful when I write down truth that God is impressing upon my heart. It's one of the privileges of preaching in this place week in and week out, because I continually have to take those thoughts and put them into one-sentence summaries or sometimes paragraphs. And that's part of what God has used to grow me in a significant way, I'm sure. So I know that is helpful and profitable, and would love to hear from you all perhaps the most significant truth out of our study that God impressed upon your heart. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take some time just to share and discuss, and if you have questions, you'd like something to be clarified, I'll do my best. But if you have not been with us on a Sunday night for quite a while, we've been doing a little more and more of this on Sunday nights, and I think the vast majority of us continue to find it really helpful to hear from one another. I know I do. I learn from you. You bring additional perspective, things that, you know, I as one person could not possibly consider, and I know it has that impact and effect on all of us. So these are very helpful times for us. Abe, I think I'm going to take you up on your offer. He's offered to be the mic man and move around the sanctuary to let you share or to ask a question, make a comment, whatever would be helpful. So let's begin with this. I wonder if we could just start giving some of you an opportunity to share maybe the most significant truth that came out of this morning's study on union with Christ. Maybe it's a particular scripture. You just want to read it. You don't have to make comments, but you're welcome to do that. And we'll just see how far we can go along those lines. I would love to see a hand go up in the air right now. That's the fastest way for us to recognize. Okay, Sarah McCall, thank you very much. We'll let Abe have an opportunity to get towards you. And others, you can go ahead and like signal, flag one of us, either Abe or me, so we'll know who's going to be next. Sarah.
Well, I'm famous for taking notes throughout the whole service. So something that came to my mind that just, it's almost a haunting thought, and that is that Christ relentlessly pursues me. So I see that in my life, and that gives me hope for those that I pray for to know Christ. Who would not want to be pursued like that? And Bill and I just got back from a 12-day trip where we saw all three of our sons, their wives, our seven grandchildren. Mm. It was such a blessing. But my whole thought going into that was that no one was going to steal my joy, and they didn't. Mm. I let everyone find their own happiness that week. And that really is the truth. God can fill us with joy if we let him. And he doesn't want us to try to change anyone else, but he definitely wants to change us. And Bill and I see it in our lives. And we can't help but think that our kids might see it too. But there was harmony. And there are a lot of people in this room that prayed specifically for that. That was my request. Pray for harmony. We saw it. And then when I heard today just that phrase that he relentlessly pursues me, it's been the cornerstone of what I've thought about all day. We did not have our notes today, and we were very disappointed. So when I went home, I redid the whole page. That was powerful. So my takeaway is that God will fill me to overflowing. That's a truth. I'm living it. And, you know, he will answer my prayer for our sons however he wants to do it, because it will be better than I ever thought of the way he will answer those prayers. That's my takeaway. And I just want to tell you, Danny, that we met one of our counselors at the Wiles for our middle child. When I met her this summer, you know, within a minute or two, you ask, you know, where do you go to church? Where are you from? That sort of thing. Well, she's from Greenville. She goes to Bob Jones University. She attends Heritage. She loves our church. Even while they are counselors up there, they're driving down from the Wiles to come to our church. Wow. So we have something very special here because God is right here present with us. And Bill and I do not take it for granted for 1 minute. And one thing, before we left, a dear friend of mine said, be sure you remember Proverbs 15:1. And I said, well, what is Proverbs 15:1? So we wrote it down. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's on our phones. So, you know, it really works when you use God's word in your life and you pour yourself into his word. So that's my thoughts for today.
That's good. That's good encouragement. Boy, if you didn't believe that God was relentlessly pursuing sinners, wouldn't you just despair? I mean, thank you. Who else? All right. See Melissa. Who's going to be after Melissa? I won't ask you to identify yourself right now, but be ready.
One of the, you were talking about the intimacy of our union with Christ, and one of the extra pieces that I saw in Ephesians is about adoption and children, and you even talked a little bit, I can't remember if it was in a prayer or what, about the groaning of childbirth and that intimacy of coming from Christ and that we are part of him. And so in terms of our intimacy with Christ, in terms of the family, children, adoption, parallel there.
Yeah, another really powerful truth. God helps us to understand the gospel through so many metaphors and analogies and gives us so many angles on it, doesn't he? You think of all the relational components that he uses to help us understand. Lee, right behind you, Abe.
I was struck this morning. I don't know that I've ever really thought about it when Danny shared how Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And obviously, I've known that over the years and actually thanked God for that. And he makes intercession for us. But when you shared that being in Christ, we're at the right hand of the Father. That just struck me. I don't know that I ever thought about that before. And it was a blessing just to think on that. Wow, God has put us in positions of honor as well as his son Christ because we're in him. That was great.
Thank you. Amen.
God loves me.
Amen. Yes, he does. More than you know, more than we know.
I'll go.
Great.
I think the thought that God used in my heart this morning was because we are so united with Christ and we are his members. Danny was using that idea of Christ as the head and we as his body and individually members of his body. And because of that, to engage in sin is to take Christ with us into sin. That's a very powerful and repulsive thought. And it's a great thought to meditate on in order to fight the sin that I struggle with, whether it be anger or frustration or impatience, especially. Those are things I wrestle with a lot. And just realizing he is the gentle and peaceful and patient one. So I don't want to pull him into that as one of his members.
That's good. Thank you. Rudy?
That was my takeaway too, but I'll come up with another one. I was reminded again of all of the wonderful prepositions in Ephesians whereby God never calls us to do something in the chapters 4 through 6 that he doesn't remind us that everything that he calls us to do, he calls us to do in him. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ, and so on and so forth. And so those prepositions, again, took on a new meaning and a new nuance this morning as a result of the service.
That's good. You cannot bypass your relationship with Jesus to get to the commands of Jesus, can you? I mean, you can, but you'll be a wreck. You'll be a wreck. That's so good.
I had two of them. The one about we cannot die because he cannot die. And also that God gives the righteousness for those who are in union with Christ, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that in Christ, God loves us as he loves his own son.
Yeah. It's powerful, isn't it?
When you mentioned, well, you're talking about vocation and saying, in Christ, we're already a good enough whatever we're called to be. That meant a lot to me, I think, especially as a mom. Well, and I've always struggled with teacher pleasing and, you know, outward effects. And now as a mom, to feel like every day I'm kind of going to bed, either feeling like just evaluating everything I've done through the day and feeling like, do I feel bad about myself today or do I feel good about myself today? And most days I feel bad about myself. And just knowing that when I lie my head on my pillow at night, I'm secure. And there's no evaluation that needs to happen because Christ has done everything. And I am going to sin and I am going to have times where I'm a bad mom, but that doesn't affect how God sees me or where I stand in his love.
It's great. That's transformational truth. We forget that so quickly. We just have to continue to go back to it. What does God say?
I was just kind of thinking along the same lines as her. I was thinking of before the throne of God when Satan tempts me to despair and reminds me of the guilt within. Where do I look? Upward I look and see him there and who paid for all my sin. I know in my own life, I like to, when Satan comes to me and he reminds me of all these things in my life, I want to just dig down inside and look for something to show Satan, look, I am worthy. Look, I am worthy before God. But when I look down and I see sin and I see guilt and I see the wretchedness of who I am. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to see the wretchedness of who we are. But God says, don't look there. You will never find anything worthy, redeemable there. I have sent Christ, our perfect righteousness. And when Satan tempts us and comes to us and say, look, Andrew, look within inside of yourself. Try to find something that you are worthy of. And that's my job is not my job. My response to Satan is no. Look at Christ. Look at his righteousness. For Christ is made unto us sanctification and redemption and righteousness. He is our Savior. He is our champion. And point away to Christ. Because I do. I mean, we all have those times where we lay our heads at the end of our day and we remind ourselves, or we review those thoughts of times where we've lost our temper or gotten angry, and Satan comes to us and says, "Look, Andrew, God, you're not worthy, you know." And that's when I have to point to Christ. So
good. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, John.
Just reminded of another privilege that we have found in Romans 8. Starting in verse 15, Paul writes, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." And just another great privilege that we have as God's children to realize that we are heirs with Christ. And everything that he has, he is going to share with us. And that's just unfathomable.
Yes, it is. I'm looking at the end. That's a great passage. I'm looking at the end of verse 17. That we may also be glorified with him. Any thoughts on what that might mean? I'm putting you on the spot, John, but was that part of your meditation at all? And if not, that's okay. I'm not. Please don't let me. Okay.
To realize that glorification of Christ is part of ours.
Yeah. And it looks like he's tying it to the suffering.
Yes.
The shared suffering.
Shared suffering, shared glorification.
Yeah.
That's a lot more to chew on.
Yes, it is. Anybody else? Let me ask, let me go back to a second question. Actually, I asked you to think through what would change in your life, or what should change in your life, if you had a stronger sense of Christ in you? Anything that the Lord impressed on your heart as you were thinking through that?
I'm thinking about one change in my life because I struggle quite a bit with anxiety and fear and insecurity. When you are rooted and grounded in that truth that Christ is in you, what incredible security you have, knowing that you're united to him. You know that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And when you lean on him and trust in him, he will guide you into all truth. And the just by when you read the Holy Scriptures and apply those and know that he will be with you and whatever circumstances you find yourself facing. But that would be one area of my life. I know I would definitely have a stronger sense of seeing a change in my life by applying that truth that Christ is living in me and I'm united to him.
So maybe instead of an anxiety and worry, there's an active resting. Would that be a good way to describe it? Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you very much. What would change if you had a stronger sense? It's real, you know, we're not trying to work up a reality. It's already real. We don't live in the conscious awareness of union with Christ, a little different way of saying we don't live in the fear of God. Living in the fear of God is living in the conscious awareness of the presence of God, but this is such a powerful aspect of that. We're living in the conscious awareness of union with him. Not just that he is here with us, but that he's in us and we're in him, and he considers us to be like as his bride, as his body. One of the things that, as I was going back over this afternoon, I actually came up with seven things that I think would be different or should be different. One of those was just wonder, a greater sense of wonder, which leads to worship, assurance, love for him. I actually spent a little time reading back through John 15 this afternoon. Obedience, joy, a different mindset altogether. And what was coming to my mind there was set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And part of the appeal that Paul makes in Colossians 3:1 is we seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And I was thinking, and as Lee pointed out, because we're there. I'm there with him. And then a seventh idea that came to me this afternoon and looking over some other scriptures that I wanted to share with you tonight was imitation. Because we're in union with Christ, there are actually multiple passages in the New Testament. And let me just give you four of them. Romans 15:7, welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you. You've experienced it, so you should imitate him. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Colossians 3:13, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. 1 John 3:16, he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we follow, we imitate him because we are united to him. Not just because he serves as a really good moral example for us and we think, well, he was a great man and I want to be a great man, so I'm going to follow his example. No, but I imitate him because I'm united to him. That's one of the strong thoughts. Okay, my turn's done. Who else? Lloyd.
If I had a stronger sense of Christ in me, I was contemplating this afternoon after having read a devotional essay by Paul Tripp, I would be a more merciful man. And I find in my own heart and life often that I do lack mercy. And if I had a stronger sense of Christ in me, I'm sure that I would be far more merciful than I am, less judgmental, giving more mercy.
Thank you. It's a powerful truth.
Speaking about the desire to have more good things for the Lord, Philip Bliss wrote a gospel song, and I'd like to read the three verses for it. It's called More. More holiness give me, more sweetness within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin. More faith in my Savior, more sense of his care, more joy in his service, more freedom in prayer. More gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord, more zeal for his glory, more hope in his word. More tears for his sorrows, more pain at his grief, more meekness in trial, more praise for relief. More victory give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth stains, more quest for the throne, more fit for the kingdom, more useful I'd be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like thee.
That's great. Thank you. I'd like to ask you to maybe share some thoughts that came to mind. Katie kind of opened the door to this. Maybe there are others of you who've had similar thoughts, but how does this truth impact the ordinary events and responsibilities of your life? I ask you to think along the lines of maybe even filling in a blank. Because I am united to Jesus, my work is, or my conversations are, my recreation is. There are all kinds of things we could insert there. Anybody spend time on that? Who'd like to share? Maybe God gave you a particular thought. Yes.
So this summer I had an internship at a soil and materials engineering company. And just spent a lot of time secluded in a lab, beating soil into a bowl, pretty much. It just felt like really meaningless, and the days were long, and you know, you're kind of sitting there and knowing that work is meaningful, but not feeling it. Like, okay, yeah, this doesn't really help people in a tangible way, and I'm not learning anything, and, you know, just for a while got discouraging. And then just meditating this morning just on the fact that Christ is with me in that he's participating in that activity with me, that he's loving me, and And that there's a togetherness that I have with him just makes it so much more meaningful that he's interested in what I'm doing. And it is meaningful to him just because I'm doing it. It's the work that he's given me to do, and I'm honoring him by doing that. And it's so encouraging to know that he takes an interest in that. That was kind of my take on union with him kind of throughout the day. So,
great. Say again, did you say beating soil in a bowl?
Yeah. It's called a proctor, and you take a hammer and beat it into a dish, truly.
To what end? That it should be smaller particles when you're done, or are you trying to...
It tells you basically how much weight you can fit in a volume, which tells you how much weight it can hold.
Ah.
For like under a parking lot or a building.
No wonder you were discouraged. Who else?
I think if I had a greater sense of my union with Christ, work would not be all-consuming. And there are a lot of days where I set my value in how much I get done or the results from what I have done or the lack of results from what I've done. And so I think if my sense of union with Christ was clearer, I think my joy would be more steady and more stable and not as up and down, because my work would not be what is consuming me.
That's good. Thank you. Let me ask you to turn to John 15. I'd like to use this particular text to move us into a time of prayer just here at the close of this hour. In John 15, this is the very beloved passage. I am the vine, the true vine, Jesus says. My Father is the vine dresser. What I want to call your attention to, though, is that after Jesus speaks of the significance, the importance of abiding in him, and he's called us to that kind, again, it's a different way of expressing the intimacy of this relationship with him. And he wants us to abide in his word. He calls us to abide in his love and repeats that several different times. Calls us to love one another in the same way that he has loved us. But then look at John 15, 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Kristen and I have actually been praying this frequently for quite some time, because it just... as I'm sure many of you, there are so many reasons to either put joy aside or feel like there's no room left for joy, because the care or the concern for a particular person or a need or a family, it just is so great it can even displace that joy, and you feel like life at that moment is just all sorrow or care or anxiety or concern. I'd like to just ask you, as we're going to partner up again, or if you want to pray in a small group, that is fine. And this certainly would not be the only thing I would ask you to pray over, if you'd like to take a few minutes and just share with one another and pray for one another. But could we just pray that the Lord would, through our union with him, through understanding more of that union and growing in our awareness of his presence, that our church family would experience the very thing that he is speaking of here. Now, some of it, it's not just this warm feeling of joy that God's going to bring over us. It's going to be tied to the active abiding of our church in his love, in his word, in him. So there are other things that precede this, but I would still ask you nonetheless to just say, Lord, would you cause us to abide in you in all the ways that you've expressed here? And as you have promised us that our joy as a congregation would be in us, and that we would be full of that joy. So we're going to take the next 5-10 minutes to pray. And let you share additional things if you would so desire, but this would be one thing I would add. All right. If you want to partner up, you can do that. If you want to pray by yourself, you're welcome to do that. If you're newer to Heritage and suddenly feel, you know, very self-conscious, like, I don't even know anybody around here, well, hopefully this will be a good way to know somebody. But you're also welcome just to pray alone if you'd like to have that time with the Lord here as we start a new week and before you enter the work responsibilities tomorrow and all that is just before us. But let's go to prayer. Let's pray together. Father, as we conclude our time here today, how we praise you for the presence of your Spirit with us, and we praise you for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for the wisdom and humility that this assembly has demonstrated tonight, some sharing even the necessary growth, the weaknesses that through your gospel you are both exposing and changing. And we are grateful for that. It's evidence that you're fulfilling your promise to sanctify your people. Thank you for the wisdom that we have benefited from as others have shared their insights, given to them, no doubt, through the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Word, as you continue to carry that into their hearts and now to ours. We thank you. These are good gifts. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would fulfill your plan, in particular this plan, that as we abide in you, as your words abide in us, that as we abide in your love and even humbly keep your commandments, which is an essential part of abiding, that you would cause your joy to remain in us and that our joy would be full. And we ask that our congregation would know that experientially, would know that fullness of joy, that despite the suffering, the sorrow of our hearts, the opposition we feel from the evil one, the attacks that come our way, and those points of discouragement and even suffering, despite all of that, that this week we would know the fullness of the Savior's joy in us. Thank you for this time that you have given us together tonight. And as we go from this place, we ask, great God, that we would go in the grace of Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen.